bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing till the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy
of
truth unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity, and by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
We want to welcome you to our worship service at First Baptist in Barrie. We are blessed by the fact that you have chosen to listen in on our service today. We live in strange days. That goes without saying. It's been said so many times, and they are strange. Somehow we are kind of getting used to it, even though it still seems somewhat surreal. Some during this COVID crisis have been discovering some positives, and others have been discovering a few negatives, like the elderly couple that I heard about in isolation. She decided that she was going to take up knitting to help her pass the time, and it turned out she was knitting a noose for her husband. While it is impossible for me to know of everyone who has or is joining us, God knows who you are, even when we don't. And we pray for you, even though we do not know you. We pray for all who are present at their own time of listening. And I ask you at this time to bow your head and your heart with me as we come before the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Our God and our Father in heaven, we lift our hearts and our voices in song and in prayer to declare that you, our God, are rich in love. You are slow to anger. Your name is great. Your heart is kind. And in you we find goodness, for you are good. And we have come to worship you and to bow before you as our great God and our Heavenly Father. You know every person who is listening in. You know them by name. You know so much about them. You even know the numbers of hairs that are numbered on their head. You know every thought that we have and the deepest intent of our hearts. We pray today for those who are suffering and ill, and pray the touch of the great physician's hand upon them. You know every struggle and care and concern that folk have, and pray that to every person, Jesus will be very near, for he is watching over us. And we can safely put ourselves in his almighty hand. We stand today on your promises. For those who are suffering loss, including those in Nova Scotia who have lost loved ones in tragic events that have transpired there, you know all about it. You know all about every situation. And we pray for your ever-present help and divine comfort, that this would be their portion and their strength. We continue to pray for our government officials and the medical professionals and all who are making decisions, and for all who work in vulnerable places, and for those as well who volunteer and fill in and help where others need them too. We ask your blessing and your enabling upon them. We also continue to pray for a quick end to this crisis, even as we acknowledge that you are at work and we can rest in that knowledge. Help us to see your hand of mercy and goodness in these times. We also want to pray for our country. We pray that our nation and people would turn their hearts toward you and to seek you in this, and in this time, that they would consider that which is most essential, that of a relationship with you. And in this time of societal quiet, we remember that when we are still, when we are quiet before you, we can sense your presence and hear your still small voice deep within. You are calling. May people listen. And now as we come to open your word together, we pray that you would speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Our hearts are hungry to be fed by you. Take your truth, burn it into our hearts, anoint these words, and help us to hear from you through them, that we might walk in faith with you. And so we bow our hearts, we surrender them, we surrender our minds and all that we are to the living Lord Jesus Christ, in whose presence we are, and in whose holy and majestic name we pray. Amen. Just before Hurricane Katrina hit in 2005, retired pastor, Pastor Jones and his wife heeded the warnings and evacuated to a shelter. When the storm was over, they were briefly allowed to go back to their home to grab the belongings that they, whatever belongings they could. Sloshing around in knee-deep water, the only thing that they could salvage were several framed family photos that were floating on top of the water. They grabbed the pictures, and upon returning to the shelter where they were, he took the photos out of their frames in order to dry them out. And when he removed the picture of his father from its frame, out fell a sum of money. It added up to $366. Now, his father had died in 1942 when Pastor Jones was only 12 years old. And in 1942, $366 was a tidy sum of money. It would equate to, in today's terms, to $5,500. No one had any idea through all those years that that money was hidden there. It turned out that that money was precisely what Pastor Jones and his wife needed in order to travel to Atlanta after the storm in order to live with their daughter. It's an amazing story. What do you call a story like that in one word? Providence. You call it divine intervention. Providence is a term often used to refer to God, either to his person, providence with a capital letter refers to God, or to providence in referring to God's care of his universe and his interventions in the affairs of this world and his interventions in your life and my life. How often have you used the term providence as a one-word answer to someone's question after something had happened, something had transpired in your life, and they said, "Wow, how did you manage that?" And you said, "Providence. Providence. I didn't. God did." And so the term divine providence would be a double emphasis. Providence refers to God and or to God's work. When I think of the term providence, my mind goes to a city today called Providence, Rhode Island. And it got its name because of God's providential intervention in the life of one named Roger Williams. In 1636, Roger Williams was banished from the Massachusetts Bay Colony for his unorthodox religious views. He was a Baptist. And in that day, Baptists were called nonconformists or dissenters, and you could face persecution, jail, and even death for preaching messages such as you hear from our pulpit at First Baptist in Barrie. Roger Williams was kicked out of the colony, and he, along with five companions, canoed their way upriver and eventually discovered a freshwater spring. The Indians in that area were friendly, and they agreed to sell him the land that surrounded the spring. And there he founded a new community, called it Providence. And it's what we know now today as the City of Providence. And he named it because he recognized God's merciful providence in sparing his life and leading him to this place. That community of Providence became a refuge for other persecuted dissenters. And Roger Williams became the founding pastor of what we know today as First Baptist Church in Rhode Island. It is the oldest Baptist congregation in North America. So here's the point of this. There is a First Baptist. Providence is not just the name of the city. Its very name is a constant reminder of the hand of God in its very beginning, providence. There are two types of providence. First of all, there is a general providence, which refers to God's care of the universe and the earth, its structure and its order. There are those who believe that in the beginning, God created the world, wound it up like a toy, and is sitting back observing, but is not involved. They haven't read their Bibles. You know, the solutions to the world's problems are all found right in here. It's just a matter of believing it and reading it. Apart from the providential care that God exercises over the universe and the world, the forces of nature would degenerate into an absolute chaos. It's God's active will that keeps order in the universe and within the natural laws of this world. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. There is also a specific providence. Specific providence refers to God's direct interventions in the lives of individuals. And I submit to you that apart from the providential care and the active will of God, we would not even be able to draw our next breath. Those who dare to mock God should take note of his grace in allowing them to do that. In him, in Christ, all things hold together. In the human body, scientists have identified the protein molecule that holds our individual cells together. Laminin is literally the glue or the binding agent. Without it, our bodies would literally come apart at the cells. If you were to look at that protein molecule under a microscope, you would see it in the shape of a cross in perfect symmetry. Apart from the active will of God in Christ, we would simply disintegrate. Without the active will of God in Christ, neither you or I or anyone else would be able to draw our next breath. Those who dare again to mock God should take note of this. God has declared himself to be, in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, the compassionate and gracious God. This is what he says of himself. The compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. God is giving a warning here that unless one turns to God and turns away from sin, that eventually judgment will come. The root cause of the world's chaos today is humanity turning away from God and being ruled by the evil one. You are either being ruled by God or ruled by Satan, one or the other. But the Bible tells us, God says it himself, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. In other words, those who refuse to turn to him. He will forgive all who turn to him. This is the message that God called Jonah to take to the people of Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire and was a very, very wicked city. Its ruins are today within the city of Mosul, Iraq. And it is often called Nineveh by the local people. God, in his providential care, wanted to give them a chance to be spared judgment. He called the prophet Jonah to go and to preach to them and to warn them. But Jonah decided he didn't want to do that. He wanted to run away from God's call, and so he ran. And he found out that while you can run away from God, you cannot hide. and he boarded a ship going in the opposite direction to Nineveh. And the hand of providence, read the book of Jonah. Like the book of Ruth that we talked about last week, Jonah is a cup of coffee book. Sit down with a cup of coffee and open the book and read it. And in this story, you see the hand of providence. For it was the hand of providence that sent a great storm. And in it, Jonah was thrown overboard and the storm ended. And then the hand of providence sent a great fish and swallowed Jonah. And Jonah repented. It took him 3 days to do that. So you can grab an idea from that of just how determined he was and how stubborn he was. But finally, after 3 days of being in the belly of that fish, Jonah agreed with God and agreed to go to Nineveh. So the fish burped and Jonah had a running start off to Nineveh. Have you ever wondered what Jonah smelt like after 3 days in the belly of that fish? Well, Jonah went to Nineveh and Jonah preached and the people of Nineveh repented and turned to God. And Jonah was angry. Deep down, you see, Jonah really wanted the judgment of God to fall on Nineveh. They were very wicked people. And so in his anger, Jonah said to God, "See, that's why I didn't want to come here in the first place. Because I knew," Jonah chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, "I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, that you are slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." Here is the motive behind the providence of God. God does not want to send judgment. You cannot truly understand the workings of God and his hand of providence without understanding this about God's nature, that he is gracious and compassionate. He is slow to anger and abounding in love. He relents from sending calamity. Jonah is so upset with God that he says to God, "Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." Do you think Jonah has some baggage? Do you think Jonah has some prejudice that he hasn't dealt with? In spite of Jonah and his baggage, God worked his purposes. And you can read all about it in the book. Nineveh's repentance was so dramatic that over 1,300 years later, their repentance was still being noted in historical documents. But Nineveh eventually returned to its wicked ways, judgment came, and it was destroyed in 1612 BC with a coalition of five armies, and its devastation was complete. Here's the point. God is compassionate and slow to anger, but there is a limit, and there is a judgment that must come. There is a chorus that I grew up with, and numbers of you probably did as well. Let the Lord have his way in your life every day. There's no peace, there's no joy, until the Lord has his way. Place your life in his hand, rest secure in his plan. Let the Lord have his way. God's providential activity in our lives is best realized when we are walking in step with him, but his providential care is still present even when we aren't. Page after page after page of the biblical text reveals the hand of divine providence, the hand of God at work in the affairs of human history and also in the lives of individuals. Let me just highlight a few. First of all, there was Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. We probably all know the story. But because of Joseph's faithfulness, the hand of the Lord, providence, caused Joseph to rise to a position of second only to Pharaoh and became the instrument whereby his family and ultimately a nation was saved from famine. And then there was Moses. Moses, born during the time of Pharaoh's edict that all the Israelite boys must be thrown into the Nile that were born. But Moses' mother made a basket and she hid him in the reeds along the riverbank. He was discovered there by Pharaoh's daughter, And he was raised in the palace, nursed by his own mother, divine providence, a relationship unknown to the palace, all because God had a plan. Have you ever felt like you're a basket case? Well, just remember Moses was once one too. And he became one of the great heroes of faith. God is at work in the good. God is at work in the times of great, great difficulty. There was Rahab, the prostitute, who became a foreign, who was a foreigner. She hid the men who were spying out Jericho. She was spared because of it when the devastation came. And she also, understand this, a foreigner and a prostitute, she became part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Then there was Ruth, that we looked at that story last week. She too, a foreigner. But Ruth was loyal to her mother-in-law, and she came with Naomi back to Israel to care for Naomi and to serve her. And she became part of the Lord's genealogy through the kinsman redeemer that gives us a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there was Esther in a foreign land, placed strategically by the hand of providence. She became the queen in the country, and the one through whom God was able to save his people from destruction. So you cannot read the Bible without gaining an understanding of the providence of God in the everyday and the not-so-everyday events in the lives of individuals. So here's the question. Is God directly involved in our lives today? Absolutely. Absolutely. Even when we experience times of deep trial and face great struggles, the hand of providence is still present, leading us and guiding us and providing, even in ways, even though we think, may think, that we cannot see his hand at work. And even when we think we cannot see it, God is still at work in our lives. God is still at work in this world. But we also need to note that not only is God at work in our world, but Satan is at work too. And we see the results of Satan's work all around us and in the news. The events that have transpired this past week in Nova Scotia, the shooting and the killing of so many innocent people and many more lives that have been traumatized, is all part of Satan's schemes, perpetuated in the heart and by the hand of one who did not know God. All we can do is to pray for them, along with so many others who face travesties in our world today. Satan is about death and destruction. The Bible tells us that Satan's activity will become even more pronounced as his end approaches. And it is an observation of our modern world that the more advanced civilization becomes, the less civilized it actually is. Satan is at work. Make no mistake about that. But God is at work too. And some of that work is dependent on you and me, and dependent on our faithfulness to follow him, even when it costs us more than we would like it to. But know this, that God will reward faithfulness in his way and in his time. Apart from the providential care that God exercises over the world, the forces of sin and Satan would cause this world to degenerate into absolute chaos. Imagine what it would be like if it were not for the hand of God. God has his purposes in the affairs of men, and he exercises a general providence and care over the world. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. As history marches, folks, it's marching on toward the day of Christ's return and the ultimate judgment of the world that will follow in its due time. One of the last verses in a favorite hymn that we sing, and I think it's one of the favorite hymns across Christendom, is "When Christ Shall Come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art." Exactly when that will be, no one knows. But I can tell you this with absolute certainty, hear me when I say this, we are precisely 7 days closer than we were last Sunday. Every day draws us a day closer. God will ultimately bring history to its logical conclusion with Christ on the throne and every knee bowing and every tongue proclaiming that Christ is Lord. He's at work in our lives today, folks. His hand of providence demonstrates again and again that He is God and that we are His and that He cares for us and that He is guiding us and guarding us along the way as He leads us ever closer to Himself and on into eternity. So God's ultimate purpose is to keep us pointed in the right direction, the direction that faces heaven and the day that we will see Jesus, the face of Jesus for the first time. What a day that will be. Try and imagine what it might be for a moment. Can you see God's hand of providence at work in your life? Have you placed yourself under God's providential care? If you haven't, He longs for you to. Even in the difficult or the bad things that happen, can you see the hand of providence at work? Ask God for spiritual insight that you will be able to see His hand and to understand that He is there and He is at work. Trust Him. He is there. He is at work. And rest assured of His care for you personally and individually. A friend once called me to tell me of something that had just transpired in their life, and it was not good news, humanly speaking. And as this friend unfolded the story to me, my response to them was, "Do you know what you call that?" And I said, "What?" I said, "You call that providence. You call that providence because the hand of God is at work." Here's why, folks, I could say that. When you walk with God, the stuff that happens, happens under His providential care and oversight. And He will work out His good purposes. That's His promise. Like the verse that we looked at last week, Romans 8 and 28. "For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him." As our musicians come to prepare to lead us in the last song and before our closing prayer, let me read for you Psalm 121. This is one of my favorite psalms, and I share it many, many times, but let me read it for you. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore." Amen.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect yet it grows. Stayed up. hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand. Never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the Spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest.
Our God and our Father, we thank you for your great and many and precious promises to us. We thank you for your divine hand of providence as you work out your good plan and your good purposes in this world and in our lives. And I pray today that if there's anyone in the sound of my voice that has not opened their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted his providential care in their life and accepted him as Lord and Savior, I pray that in their home right now they would call out to you, for all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, and you will honor their requests and you will come to them and reveal yourself to them. And I pray, Lord, that they would just be able to take a Bible, if they don't have one, to find one, to go online. They're online all over the place. And Lord, that they would just be able to read your word, and that by the work of your Holy Spirit, you would reveal yourself to them, and that they would come to know you, for whom to know is life itself. And now, Lord, as we come to our conclusion of this service this morning, we pray in the manner that you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. God bless you.